everybody. Welcome back to the Sisters and Friends podcast. It's your girl, not Sadie. All right.
Perfect.
How was that?
That was pretty good. Would you say hello, everybody? When I say, what's up, fam?
Okay. What's up, fam? Welcome back to the
Sisters and Friends podcast. Happy Monday, everybody.
Happy Monday, everybody. Here we are, flipping the script. I got your girl Sadie over here.
You're interviewing me, is what you're trying to say.
What I'm trying to say is...
Our team's laughing in the background. So, take over.
Set the stage. Let them know what's happening. You have not been hijacked.
I have not been hijacked.
I kind of was hijacked.
But we thought it would be cool if someone interviewed me for the podcast as a change. And someone asked me questions because I am used to asking so many people questions. Of course, I've done so many interviews in my life and been interviewed a lot. But never on my own podcast have I been interviewed. And so, you know, we've had, 100 plus episodes? We've done this for years. It's about time I get interviewed.
It's about time. I feel honored that you are letting me do this.
Well, it wasn't by choice. I didn't choose you.
Wait, it's true. Somebody else was supposed to do this, and there was a shift in the schedule, so they put the backup plan in.
So everyone is blessed with plan
B. I'm just saying, buckle up.
Yes.
Okay? Sadie, you don't even know what
you don't even know. And I'm nervous because Steph's truly one of my best friends in the world, knows me better. I would say... probably confidently say, besides Christian,
yeah,
you probably know me better than anyone else in the world. Yeah. And so...
I would say that about you. Truly. I feel like you probably know all of my... Yeah, me too.
Which is what makes me nervous about
Basically,
this moment.
Basically, we could sabotage each other's
lives. Absolutely. Okay.
Let's dive in.
Okay.
Because I want to start off just by addressing something.
Okay.
I don't know if you're aware, but there's, actually some rumors going around our office.
Are there?
Yeah, with our team.
Oh, no.
And I thought, what a better place really just as, you and I in leadership to hash it out and just in front of everybody and, talk through some of these rumors.
Let's bring people into this.
Yeah, let's just bring people into it. We're going to shed light on it.
But I am nervous.
All right. So the thing is, some people are under the impression that perhaps you know how to, make yourself sound like a dinosaur.
Oh, wow.
And I said, I've never seen this.
Oh, wow.
I said, I've never seen this before. I'm unaware of the situation. But some of the girls were like, no, I swear. Okay. And I was like, I don't think that's true, but let's just squash the rumor right now.
Okay.
Do you want to give me a little insight into this?
Here's the thing. Most people think dinosaurs are extinct. I don't want to freak people out on the internet. But if you're kind of into these things, you might be surprised to know there's one left.
Is this a conspiracy theory?
I'm dead. That was probably my best one ever. It's the lights and the cameras.
Okay. Wow, I'm really glad we set the record straight.
I mean, if rumors were being told,
yeah. Well,
people should know.
One other big thing before we move to the lighthearted things.
I'm nervous.
Is actually, I have been meaning to talk to you about something.
Okay.
Before we dive in, I said, shoot. This is more of a serious thing, though. Okay. I've been meaning to talk to you about, we talk about blind spots a lot.
Okay.
And, you have a couple.
I'm so nervous. By the way, for those listening, we have not talked about anything that Steph's going to ask
me. We're going to cut
all
this out.
So I have no idea what's going.
We're going to cut this all up. But I do just want to mention, it kind of hurt my feelings last week when we were playing tennis together. When, you were trying to be, I'm so good, I'm so good. And, I was thinking, I signed up for the A team. And here we are. We go in. I have a perfect tennis record. Literally, I've never lost a tennis match in my life.
Have you ever played a tennis match
Doesn't matter.
In your life?
I've never lost a tennis match game in my whole life. And then you're like, I'll be your partner. And we show up. Yes. We have the matching shirts and all that stuff. And then, you kind of let me down a little bit when, we lost.
Steph, here's the thing. I don't know where the impression... came to you that we were going to be the A team. That should have never been assumed. But maybe it was assumed because I don't lose often. But somehow, randomly, when you were replaced as my partner, we lost. And somehow, we lost when it was your serve. So,
you know, let's just dive into some of the other content.
Yeah, you might want to before this gets worse.
Yeah, let's just move on. All right. No, for real, though. This is really fun. Because I do feel like there's so many things I know about you.
Yeah.
Which is really sweet that other people might not get to see, which I'm like, oh, they're like such like little like sweet things I wish everybody could actually like see into your life. And like one of the things I will say is you work so hard. And I'm not saying that to like toot your horn. Again, no one even knows that like we're saying this. But like I like you have honey. You show up to every single meeting here at the office. Like you're last night we were getting ready for conference. You're in there like gluing letters. Like you're just a part of everything. Mm-hmm. And I just want to honor you and say like you are an amazing leader in that sense. Like you lead so well in that. But why don't you share, what does your actual week look like? Because I think there's some things that people are probably like, what does your life actually look like? Like, do you just like show up to the office and just like hang out with the girls all day? Are you like, when people, do you just read pages and be like, oh, this looks like fun. You put that as my book. No, like, what is your actual life look like?
Yes.
And I'm going to probably add to it because
you probably should, because you probably know this answer better than even I do. And I say that because you pretty much own my schedule. Like I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow until I see it on the calendar, half the time. But yeah, and we've gotten to the place where we can do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously like we've worked together for how many years, 5 years now. And it didn't start like that. You know, we weren't always doing all the stuff that we're doing now, and we definitely weren't always doing what we're doing now as well as we're doing it now.
Yeah.
I think we've like found how to actually structure it well. And after having Honey, we had to shift a lot of like, how am I actually going to practically do this and be a great mom? And so I guess my week kind of looks like this now. So Mondays, we have it scheduled, are always my meeting days. So we have meetings all day Monday, pretty much start of the day, 9 o'clock to end of the day, 5 o'clock, just like phone calls. And that can look like with so many different people. We work with a lot of different people. You know, to put on a podcast requires you working with several different people. To put on a conference requires you working with so many different companies and people and production and lighting and this and that.
Yeah.
In just LO world, we have an app. We have podcasting. We have a clothing line. We have books. We have all this stuff. And so we have a meeting with our team just to make sure everybody's lane is actually thriving and doing well. Or what are some things they're not thriving in? How can we fix that? So Mondays are full of all that, which you set this all up. So I'm telling it to everybody listening.
Right.
Tuesdays are typically a writing day for the most part. So anything I have like in the works of like maybe I'm working on a book, which I pretty much am always working on a book, and I will be for the next 4 years of my life with the book contract that I have. So I'm working on a book, and then I'll work on whatever edits I have for that, and then I'll also work on content for my next message that I'm going to preach on.
Yep.
So I'll work on that Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Those are kind of full content days, and sometimes I'll do that at the house, but more than likely I'll come into the office to just get away and actually sit in my room. I light my candles. I draw on the dry erase board.
I love your whiteboard. It's like always so full. Like, I'll like go in there like, woo!
My zone. That's my zone. Good. Light my candles and get a dry erase marker. That's where I feel like I'm thriving and just like hearing from the Lord and writing. Thursdays are always podcast days. So typically I record 3 podcasts every Thursday and we do ads and all that, which is always crazy. It's a lot of conversations and a lot of talking. So I forgot to mention in the prep days, like in the content days, I will prep for podcasts.
Right.
And I prep my own podcast for years, and now I have someone on our team who helps me prep. So she'll help read the books, help listen to the songs and get great questions. And then I'll look over them on Wednesday and make sure I feel good about them, watch other YouTube videos I want to watch and get ready for Thursday's conversations. By the end of Thursday, I'm pretty much pooped. My brain is pretty much dead. And if you've ever like had a long day at school and you feel like your brain is fried, that's kind of how I feel on Thursdays. And then Friday is kind of like a free-for-all day. Everyone on our team is allowed to work wherever they want to work as long as they get work done. And if I'm done with my work on Friday, then I spend the whole day with Honey. That's, yeah, like our day. If I have stuff to do, obviously I'd do it. But I always have Honey on Fridays, which is so fun and so sweet. So that's typically what a week, yes, looks like. Obviously, these weeks are crazier because we're planning a conference. And so some seasons are busy than others. Some seasons aren't as busy as others.
Right.
It kind of depends. But that's pretty standard.
I think that's such good insight, though.
Y'all, we all grew up at camp around here. We are camp kids. We love camp, love a good camp game, camp song. All of it is so fun. Summers at camp are definitely awesome. And my kids are too young for camp, so I got to have some other things to entertain them. And KiwiCo is a great way to bring camp right to your door. Some of the fun of camp, at least. KiwiCo delivers some seriously fun learning games for kids of all ages through hands-on projects and activities. Every month, kids receive crates packed with projects and items to help them explore science, technology, and art in ways that will capture their attention no matter what their age. So I mentioned our love for camp. My mom actually was the craft director at camp all my life. And so she was always doing new crafts and teaching us crafts and led all the kids in that. And so it really is fun to get to do some crafts with the kids at home, especially with KiwiCo, because they always have an educational element to them for no matter what age your kids are. So even Honey, the little crafts that KiwiCo has sent are great because it's teaching her things that I might not necessarily think to teach her at this age, but through a fun way, it helps her. KiwiCo will help you engage your child's natural curiosity and encourage them to be an innovator and creative thinker. They'll learn new skills and new connections and build the confidence that they need to navigate through the world. We have loved watching Honey and Haven grow and learn, and thankfully, KiwiCo has made it so much fun along the journey. So redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with the promo code Sadie Robb. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com with the promo code Sadie Robb. Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A to 500-500. That's audible, audible.com/woe or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends.
But what I liked what you said was it didn't start that way.
No.
Like that has literally been like this like growth of the team, yeah, to finally like get into this more of like a schedule
to
of these are the things that like
this we is actually Monday, need to. This, yeah, is Tuesday, yeah.
But I want, why don't you speak to that? Because I feel like there's a lot of girls that have reached out recently that have asked this question, mm-hmm, and I want to ask you about it. And it's like they like see what's happening with Live Original and they're like, oh, that's so amazing. Like, I want to do something like that. But then it's like this process of like, how do you actually start something?
That's good.
And so why don't you speak to like when you had the vision?
Yeah.
And then maybe even along the way, like it hasn't been easy. And I've been on that journey with you. And, like, it didn't just, like, happen. Like, even, like, the podcast, like, season one, we were talking about this earlier. We were recording podcast ads in the back of your Jeep, you know? So, like, how do you start something? And then how do you stick with it even when it's hard?
Yeah, it's good. Man, that's so good. I think it is sticking with it. Like, just sticking with it. And if God called you to something, no matter what you deem as successful or no matter what you think the timeline is going to be, it's just, like, being faithful to the yes that you said to the Lord. I remember whenever I was 17, and I felt like the Lord put in my heart when I was at that conference that I really gave my life to Jesus, he put in my heart to do live events under the umbrella of what my book was named, Live Original. That's all I knew. Okay, I'm going to do live events. First step. I'm going to do something like that. So then I had to figure out, okay, how am I going to do that? I was going into my senior year of high school. I was like, what does that look like? So I asked, like, all my cousins, like, hey, will y'all be a part of this with me? I got in contact with someone who puts on live events who was going to help with, like, the production of it. And then I knew the guys from For King and Country from something I had done before with Duck Dynasty. So I reached out to them and was like, hey, would you play at my live event? We'll pay you this much money. And I was just like, this is all I knew, like, scrappy.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And Sean and Catherine Lowe had just been on The Bachelor. So I texted them because I had their number from DMing on Instagram. I said, hey, would you do a Q&A with me at a live event? Okay, that's all I know. And then I'm like, how do we fill the space? So I always joke about this because I grew up in a traditional background. Women didn't speak in the church where I grew up. And so, but what women did do is they did skits and stuff. So we prepared skits.
I'm not laughing, but it's just so great.
It's so funny. So I was like, well, we'll do some skits. We'll do some fun, like, interactive, like, skits. So that first live event was, like, me and my cousins doing skits and, like, things like that, and we had For King Country perform, and we had an interview with Sean and Catherine Lowe, and it was awesome. You know, we did a relationship Q&A with all my cousins, and we did it in Nashville, and it sold out because I had been well known from the show, so it did well. And from that point, someone was in the audience with their daughter. A guy had brought their daughter, and he was like, hey, this was really cool. What would you think about going on a tour? I'm in charge of, like, touring. I would love to do this for you. And I was like, wow. So then it was like another yes. Mm. Well, then we did that. And honestly, like, you know that because that's where we met.
Yeah.
That was so hard.
Yeah.
And, like, that could have been the thing that I was like, okay, never mind. Like, this is the wrong thing. Like, I made a mistake. Like, this is not what I want to do.
Right.
But I actually just learned a lot and was like, okay, I just need to, like, it's not that this is not what I'm supposed to do. It's just I just need to ask God for wisdom on how to do it.
Right.
And that was not the right way.
Right.
And so, man, got back up, moved to Nashville, and ended up really diving into that. And then everything kind of led from there. So I think it's just like, okay, God will put a vision on your heart. When God puts the vision in your heart, say, yes, Lord. But don't expect for God to then make the vision come to life.
Yeah.
You have to use the hands that he gave you to do it. I love the story of Nehemiah because Nehemiah built, he was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah doesn't know how to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, but he kept asking the Lord to strengthen his hands. And I used to pray that all the time, God, strengthen my hands and give me wisdom. And those two prayers were just like, God, strengthen my hands, give me wisdom. And man, when I look back at LO and what it's become, the podcast, the app, this, that, the conference, the blah, blah, it's like a whole lot of prayer, a lot of yeses, a lot of face plants, a lot of getting back up, a lot of heartache that you've seen, a lot of tears, a lot of struggle. But man, would I do it again? Yes, because I'm so thankful for what it produced. Mm. But just because you are in the perfect will of God for your life, just because you are faithfully saying yes to everything he has, just because you're actually in the lane of living out your purpose does not mean that it's not going to come with struggle.
Yeah.
Does not mean it's not going to be hard. Does not mean it's not going to take years to build and grow.
Yeah.
But I think in all of that, it makes you who you are. And that's why I love it. That's why I love the process of it all. You got to stick with it, and it'll shape you to become who you are. And you'll look back and you'll say, thank God for every single one of those hiccups and hurdles, because I would not be the leader I am if I didn't learn the hard way.
Right.
If it was all easy, who would I be, you know?
Right. That's so good. I was just talking to one of the girls this morning about that. She was like, oh, there's, like, a lot with conference. Like, you know, she was, like, feeling a little bit of, like, stress. And I was like, how awesome. It's like, you're being refined through this process.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, because, you know, she's talking about she's seeing things come up within herself or she's getting anxious or whatever. And it's like, it is, like, live original, like, what God is doing. He's doing so much, like, out there, but also like in our own lives too, of refining us and like in your life and in my life and like our team's life of like, some of these things are really hard. And it's like, I'm seeing parts of myself that God has to deal with or God has to refine, or like checking my motives all the time. Like, all right. Like if one person responds to that, like, do I believe that, like, you know, or nobody, but like God told us to do this, so we're going to be obedient to the calling and the vision of it. And like, is that going to be enough? You know, it's
I think that's good. Yeah. I think God wants that. I think God allows that. Like, I think some people think, well, if something gets hard, it's like, that's the devil. Well, there is definitely the devil's involved in things and there is an enemy. But I think some of it is like God pruning us, like God like refining us. And like, those are not bad things, you know? Right. Man, think about like Daniel getting thrown into the lion's den. Like, I mean, think about how refining that was, how scary and anxious that would be, how crazy that would be. But if he wouldn't have been in that lion's den, then the king at the time would have never seen the faithfulness and the glory of God. And so it's like sometimes, like, it's the moments in the den with the lion that actually is the very thing God's going to use to show the people around you how good he is in your life and how faithful he is. So don't think that just because it's hard or just because you're anxious or stressed or it's busy, that that's not an okay thing. I think lean into that and let God refine you in those seasons. Because, you know, you can avoid it, you can try to run from it, but you can't really outrun those life lessons that he's going to get into your life.
And, like, taking the gold from those life lessons. Yep. And then, like, as Court says, you have to bounce back.
You gotta bounce back.
There are so many times. Sadie, you're the queen of the bounce back. I just want to say I learned so much from you. Shout out to Court. Queen of the bounce back. Shout out to Court for planting that word. But, like, you are the queen of the bounce back. Because, truly, though, like, even just in this last season, like, I've, like, watched so many things happen behind the scenes of, or, like, things outside of our control that happen. You're like, okay, as Bob Goff would say as well, sink back up and like move on when there's moments of disappointment. But I think it can also be really easy to become jaded.
Yep.
You know, and like finding that line, because even like I've heard leaders say like, oh, it's like so lonely at the top, or like leadership is like really lonely and like all those things. And I feel like you have lived your life in a way where you're like, I don't want to live that way, where I'm like upset or angry or like a jaded leader because I've been like hurt by people. And I'm just like, like, how do you maintain that soft heart still when like you have been hurt and like being able to bounce back? Because I will say too, I think that's like, whether or not you're leading an organization or you're leading in your sorority, like any type of leadership position that you have, like there are going to be moments where it's like, you do have to bounce back.
You have to.
And you have to remember the vision and, like, not have a hard heart moving forward and be like, oh, leadership's so lonely. It's awful.
Yeah.
Like, how do you do that?
Man, that's so real. Honestly, I mean, and truthfully, through a lot of probably really hard and raw prayers, because you do get hurt and it does get hard, like, period. Like, there's not, like, oh, if it gets harder. Maybe, no, like, it will, and it does, and it hurts. And I remember recently, man, I think I'll say this before I say that. I think you can't let the high moments and the successful moments become something, like, that you idolize after, and you can't let the low moments that are, like, the failing moments and the painful moments also become something you idolize over.
Yeah.
I think some people tend to hold on to both of those things for a little too long.
Yeah.
And you do actually just have to keep moving forward and say, God, what is for my tomorrow? What is for my today? Or I guess let's not go tomorrow. Let's say, what is for my today? Like, that was yesterday's success, and that was huge, and that was awesome. Mm. That was epic. But there's more for today.
Yeah.
Man, yesterday, that sucked, honestly. That hurt. I don't want to show it tomorrow, but there's something today that you have for me that's different. We have a God that goes from glory to glory to glory. We have a God whose mercies are new every single morning. And there are some days where I have to wake up and I'm going to say, God, yesterday was terrible. I receive your mercy for today. Or, God, yesterday was awesome, man. It was so good. But, God, you're not going to fail me today. You know, I'm not going to do something less than, because you're in it. And so I think that you can't idolize your successful moments. You can't idolize your broken moments. You have to just kind of find this humbling in between of, God, where is my today? And so I'll say, recently, you know, we've done so many great things recently. I mean, if you looked at LO from the outside, you would be like, oh my gosh, this is like, as AG would say, thriving and abiding. Yeah. I mean, this is like going great. And it is. And right. internally too, it
totally,
is.
Yeah.
But I have, and you've watched this, I've been hurt a couple times in some pretty painful ways with people and some pretty painful ways and disappointed in ways with, like, even I'll get an email. Like, we got an email recently. It's like, hey, this book is not doing very well compared right. to your other books. And like, that stinks and that yeah. hurts or whatever. But it's more like the people thing that hurts me. And I have had so many mentors say what you just said. Say to me, Sadie, it is lonely at the top. You cannot become friends with people. You either choose right now, are you going to be a leader or are you going to be a friend? Because you can't be both. I've literally had someone right. tell me that. You either lead or you be friends with people, but you can't do both. Mm-hmm. And I just remember like always being like, oh, God, like I don't want that. Because like I love my friends so much. I love yeah. people so much. I don't think I can do that. So like how do I be a leader and a friend? And I've always tried to do that. But then you realize why people say that. Because totally. That hurts and because that's hard.
Yeah.
And I just remember recently walking through another situation where I kind of got hurt by a friend, but I'll back up and tell the full story. So I was on a plane, and it was right before the day that so many people were about to start. We had like 5 people start the summer, 5 new people. So I was on a plane ride, and I was going to lead this moment with our 10 team members in the next, that following weekend. And I was like, golly, what do you want for that day? Yeah. What do you want for everybody's first day of work? How do I lead that well? And I felt like the Lord told me to wash their feet, to wash every one of our right. teammates' feet. And I said, no, God, I am not doing that. And God said, do it, wash their feet. And I was like, absolutely not. Because it wasn't that it was like, oh, gross feet. It wasn't that. It was just like, I was like, that would be so awkward if I washed people's feet. Like, they don't even know me yet. Like, what am I going to do? Get down. I don't want to make it weird, whatever. And the Lord said to me, do not reserve your leadership and do not reserve your love because you're scared of getting hurt. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So a couple of days go by, and I washed everybody's feet, and it was a powerful moment. It was beautiful. Honestly, it was just like, it made me feel near to Jesus.
Yeah, that was such a sacred moment.
And 2 days later, someone on our team who I love so much left.
Right.
And I love this person so much. There's no hurt feelings. It was a legitimate reason why she left. But that's hard, yeah. you know? But I remember just being like, Jesus, you get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get it. You know how that feels.
Right.
And I said to the Lord, I said, God, I don't want to grow bitter. I don't want to grow jaded. I don't want to be a leader who doesn't have friends. I don't want to be isolated at the top just because these moments hurt.
Right.
So God, just heal my heart. Just help me.
Yep.
It was a good week or so of just sitting with the Lord, mm-hmm. having some tears, letting the Lord, you know, make me free of just any hurts or anything that I felt or any stress of what's to come.
Right.
But he did, you know, mm-hmm. and I was able to bounce back. And so mm-hmm. I think in those bounce back, it's not ignoring what just happened.
That's so good.
Because
yeah.
you have to dive into it.
Right.
You have to let the Lord talk it out with
yes.
Jesus. But when you go to the Lord and when you talk it out with Jesus, you will always get that he understands exactly what you're going through because mm-hmm. he has been through it. The fact that God made himself human just so he could endure the things that we go through to empathize with
yeah.
us and then like literally shatter all anxieties we have to the point of shattering our anxiety about death is like the greatest thing
yes.
about who God is. And so even in those little things, like those leadership hurts or those moments that friendships you know, break or they leave you. Mm-hmm. It's like, even Jesus gets that, you
yeah.
know? Thankfully, I am still friends with this person and God is good and
yeah.
there's no bitterness or hurt feelings. But I just love the aspect of God. So how do you bounce back? You got to dive in. And
that's
you
good.
Don't idolize your successes and you don't idolize your brokenness. You
yeah.
just have to humble yourself in the middle.
Just such, I mean, I've seen you like learn that lesson over time. Like that's a really cool place to hear you say that because you know,
not always the case.
Hasn't always been, but just to the point of like God is always refining us and teaching
yes.
us things. And I think that's a really like really
yes.
cool place to hear your heart in and what God has done in your story and that as a leader. And I think a lot of people are going to learn from that, from your
mm-hmm.
experiences that you've gone through
mm-hmm.
as early in their leadership
yeah.
as well. But I'm personally really thankful that you figured out that being friends and
yeah.
being a leader is a really sweet thing because I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the sweetest things. Like, I love that I get to work with one of my best friends.
It's awesome.
Truly, Sadie.
It's
like,
the best.
I love it so much. And, like, there's moments where we disagree.
Yeah.
And there's moments where we probably annoy each other.
You know what? It's so great. This is what I love about working with your friends.
Yeah.
Because like, greater things happen when you work with the people that you know and that you love. And, like, yes, hard things happen, and it makes the heartache times maybe a little bit harder. Right. But the good times, it makes them so much better. And the hard times, it strengthens you, too, because we know each other's weaknesses. We know each other's strength. We know, like, I can look at you and be like, you're stressed. What's going on? Like, we can tell. But what's really cool is, like, in friendship, just like whenever you have a sleepover with your friends and y'all are all just, like, being the goofiest version of yourself. Like, you're being the original version that God created you to be, childlike faith. Yes. I feel that way when I step into our office every day with the people that are around us. Every one of my friends is operating at the highest level of their gifting. Mm-hmm. And I am beyond grateful I got to hire them in that position. Because, like, I'm hiring people because I know them and because I'm like, you have this gifting. This is natural for you. You don't have to strive. You don't have to try. Right. Like, this is just what comes out of you because of who God created you to be. And I think you need to be in this lane at LO. Mm-hmm. And everyone's in that, like, thriving position because they're being who they were originally created to be, surrounded by friends who will champion them into being the best version of themselves and carrying them when they're in the lowest version. So I just think it's a beautiful thing. I think it's always worth fighting for that friendship. And 100%. To leaders who have been hurt and jaded, I get it. I get why you don't want to be friends with people that you work with. I get why it hurts. And yes, there are boundaries at times that you need to make, but I also think it's worth fighting for.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, the other week, we were having this, like, small disagreement on something that didn't even really matter, but it was, like, it mattered, but, like, we were, like, going back and forth. And I remember I came to your house and I was, like, afterwards we figured it out and I was like, there is no one on the planet I would rather disagree with on a Wednesday afternoon than you. Yeah. Because it was like the safest place to be able to disagree, knowing, okay, we have like heard all of the options and actually like it made us better because we like searched out all the things and it wasn't like, no, we have to do it my way. No, we have to do it your way. It was like, okay, wait, let's just pause and like, let me bring this to the table. Let me bring this to the table. And it was like, okay, this
is like the best option. You disagree with honoring people well still. Yes. Like, you had an opinion I didn't agree with and I had an opinion you didn't agree with, but both of us valued each other's opinion enough to say, let me think about that. Right. Like, let me take a day. And we both called separate people and asked what their opinion was. And we're like, hey, I don't want to miss this. And we came together and we ended up deciding on something that wasn't actually either of our opinion, which is really funny. And then, man, and even just like the other day when I felt hurt by the smallest thing, I was like, Steph, I'm coming in your office. I'm like, I'm telling you something. I was like, this kind of hurt my feelings and I'm telling you because I don't want to think about the rest of the day. And so there are things that you have to do to kind of protect yourselves from getting in fights or getting in tiffs with like your friends or your teammates. And so this isn't just for people who work together. This could be people who are just friends. Like if you're annoyed by what a friend did or sad or hurt by what a friend did or you disagree, like there's a way to do that and in a respectful way that's not disrespectful, in an honoring way that's not dishonoring. There's a way to do that without gossiping and telling everyone else. Just going straight to the person and being like, hey, I know your heart and I know it wasn't this. I'm assuming the best in you. Assume the best in one another.
Right.
And just say, like, let's talk this out.
Yes. Which is also the hardest thing to go to somebody and be like, can I just say this?
Yeah.
But, like, once you do, it's like, ooh, freedom. The light's in it. There's just so much freedom of, like, okay, I just need to, like, get this off my chest. Yeah. Which I feel like I've learned so much just in our work relationship and in our friendships. And, like, I think being an ultimate sister and a friend is believing the best, but also communicating when there's it's tension good. And like so good, you have to do that.
It's good.
Do you want to talk about like how much you love me now? I'm just kidding.
Steph, I interviewed you already. I told everybody how much I love you.
Okay. Wait, back to you. Okay, sorry, back to you. All right, before we close here, I want to ask you, how do you maintain your own like spiritual journey with the Lord while you're also like prepping messages and trying to like plan for other things? Because like you're in there writing on the whiteboard, doing all these things and like planning an amazing message to share. But I think some people might think like, oh, that's just like you went out there to share that message. But like, how do you also then like find your own moments with the Lord? Or do those messages come out of your time with the Lord? Like, what does that process really look like for you of like, how do you not make your message prep or like your job, like your quiet time, your job?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think there's a lot, it's like, even for me, like leading a small group sometimes, I'm like constantly searching for things, content for a small group instead of like, God, like, what are you wanting to say to me?
Yeah.
And there's probably so many other people out there who can experience that on like smaller scales and like yours is on a big scale.
It's good. Yeah, man, that's hard. This is hard. So I will say, I don't do it perfectly all the time, but I will say this. I think that a lot of times we put so much pressure on what our quiet time with God has to be that God never put on us. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, we're like, we have to wake up at 6 a.m. and like spend the first seconds with God because like so many people say that that's a good thing to do, which it is a good thing to do. Jesus would rise early in the morning and go and be with God. So if you do that, 100%, that is great. That's following after the heart of the Lord. But it's not like God set a meeting date with you at 6 a.m. that you overslept and missed. And, right. And I think for a long time I thought of it like that. Same. I'd be like, okay, in the morning, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to have my quiet time. And then I wouldn't. And, you know, right. And life would get crazy and I would miss it. And then I'd be like, oh, God's so disappointed in me. Like, I failed. Yes. And I was like, God didn't even, like, he wasn't waiting there at 6 a.m. being like, she stood me up. Like, God's with you, like, throughout the whole day. I remember in school, in just middle school, like my Bible teacher saying, like, start your prayer in the morning and never end it. And I still do that. Like, I 24/7 am praying. I'm talking to God all day, every day, probably repetitively at times. You know, he's probably like, okay, you've already said that, you know, but I just always talking to God. I'm always communicating with God. Like I said, I was on an airplane the other day. I just felt like I was just reading in my word, and I just felt like the Lord was like, wash your feet, because I'm reading his word, and he's like, he'll speak to you through his word, and I'm like, ah, no. So I think, like, anytime I get to just, like, pray, or anytime I get to ask the Lord a question, or anytime I get to read the word, I do, because I love the word.
Right.
So I think that cultivating that space with God where it's, like, personal to you and outside of maybe your job, if you're in ministry or outside of church on a Sunday, is truly desiring to hear from him, truly desiring to be with him. Because if you desire to be with him, you'll make time to be with him.
Right.
Or you'll ask him little questions throughout your day. He'll be involved in your whole day.
So good.
And I think God's just involved in my whole life, whether I'm message prepping or whether I'm sitting, you know, on my couch with Christian. And what we like to do is, you know, something about candles. I think it's because fire in the Bible represents the presence of God.
Yeah.
And lighting a candle, like, I literally think, like, okay, this is representing me welcoming the presence of God into this room, whether I'm working on a message or whether I'm sitting at home, like I said, on the couch of Christian, having a quiet time. I'll turn on worship on our YouTube, and I'll just sit there and worship. I'll journal some. I might read some. But oftentimes, it's just me sitting there and being with him, being with the Lord, resting in his presence, listening if he wants to speak. I will say, he doesn't always speak in those moments. I told y'all this recently. I got up and saw the sunrise, like, every morning for 2 weeks, and I just really thought the Lord was going to speak to in those moments.
Right.
And I was, like, radio silence. Like, heard nothing. Like, got nothing. Mm-hmm. And it can be in those times that you're like, oh, well, God, like, is it even worth sitting here? But what's crazy is as I was journaling through those sunrise moments, now fast forward 2 months, and most of my message for this conference is from the journals that I wrote 2 months ago in those radio silent moments. Yeah. And so time with the Lord is never wasted, you know? Reading, even if you read a whole passage of the Bible and don't understand it, it's not wasted. Like, I think the word is active and alive. So if you put it in your spirit, like, God will activate it and make it come to life in the right moment, in the right time. It's crazy how if I read a verse in the morning, odds are that verse will come up at some point in my conversation that day. Because it's dwelling
in me. It's in you. I have that same moment too. Alive. Yeah.
So make time to be with the Lord. If you don't make a specific time, just invite him into all day, every day. Seek him first. Seek him in all things. Seek him in conversations you have. Seek him in the music you listen to. Seek him in the shows that you watch.
Yeah.
I'm looking for analogies in every aspect of my life.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably because I speak, so I know I want them.
Mm-hmm.
But even if I didn't speak and preach, I would love to see analogies throughout my whole day because it just makes God look so much bigger.
Yeah.
So, man, I hope that helps.
So good. That's
but
great
I think
advice.
Overall, it's take the pressure off.
That's good.
Because God's there.
That's really good. In every aspect of our lives, we can take that pressure off. That's so good, Sadie. Wow, Sadie. Thank you.
This is fun.
I'm so glad that you were on my podcast today.
Wow, Steph, thanks for, you know, making room for me.
I've been trying to get you on for so long, but your people are like, oh, she's so busy and so
busy.
No,
for real,
thank you for making time for me. Honestly, truly, no, for real. Sadie, and you're going to be like, cut this out. No, I just want to say, I want to honor you as a leader. You are an incredible leader. And it has been, honestly, one of my greatest joys in life to be on the LO team and to work under you these last 5 years with you, under you,
sweet.
Be a part of this. And, like, truly, you are the same person on the stage as you are in our office, in your house, and in our friendship. And I love you so much. And I hope that the world also can see that. And I think it shines. And I know that they see that. But, like, so I love sweet. You. And I'm so grateful that
so
God gave you a vision for Ello.
Thank you. Me too. I love that you said that. No, thank you. I won't make you cut that out, because I actually wanted to say to that point that, you know how we said it hasn't always been this way. It hasn't. Yeah. I think when you get to the point that you're living in such an authentic way that you truly are the same person.
Yeah.
In your private moments that you are in your public moments, you're the same person with the Lord that you are in your quiet times with the Lord that you are in your public ministry times with the Lord. When you authentically get that way, life just flows so much better and everything just comes so much more natural. You don't have to be nervous when there's cameras in front of you. You don't have to be nervous when there's people following you, because you know who you are. Mm-hmm. And I think if I could give people like advice in just life, is like, we say live original for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, like, living authentically original is probably the greatest blessing and the greatest gift you can give to yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for that message in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful I get to preach that over everybody else's life who comes along this journey. So thanks for making the things happen stuff. If it wasn't for you, I probably wouldn't be here.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
I wouldn't be on this podcast if it wasn't for you, and that's true.
That's true.
Because you Googled how to start a podcast.
That is real. And my advice to people out there is just Google anything you want to know. It's just, it's out there.
That's right. And if you want one more dinosaur.